Before I begin my message tonight, I have a special announcement. It's more than an announcement. It's a sort of a request. And I want you to listen to it very carefully because in just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to respond to it before I even start my sermon. Tonight, I've arranged for us to have a special guest. Jesus of Nazareth will be here, the one who left his glory in heaven, the one who lived among men for 33 years, the one, the Bible says, who had the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He taught, he preached, he made the lame to walk, the blind to see, and the deaf to hear. He raised the dead. He showed us the kingdom of God. For those acts, he was arrested and falsely accused. They had a mockery of a trial, and they sentenced him to die. His crime? He claimed to be the Son of God, and indeed he is. They beat him, whipped him, pulled his beard out, spit on him, forced a crown of thorns on his brow, nailed him to a cross, stuck a spear in his side. They shamed him, ridiculed him, and mocked them. As we've been talking the last several weeks, he said several things from the cross. First thing he said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And the saying that we talked about this morning, he said, "It is finished." Next week, we're going to talk about the last saying that he said from the cross, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And then he died. And for 3 days and three nights, he laid in a borrowed earthly tomb. But as the song says, up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph over his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. And tonight he's in heaven. He's at the right hand of God. He's our advocate. You see, every time we mess up as a Christian, he's our intercessor to God and says, "Hey, Lord, that mistake is under the blood as well. I died for that sin. I died for that error." Every time we fall, every time we sin, he is our intercessor to the Father. Tonight, I've arranged for him to be here. Here's my request. I want you to listen. I need somebody to take Jesus after church tonight and buy him dinner. And then I need for somebody to take him home and give him a place to sleep. He has to go back to heaven in the middle of the morning tomorrow, so you'll have time to make him a good breakfast. And then before he leaves, I'd like you to take him to a men's store and buy him a suit, shirt, tie, and shoes, just to let him know that all of us here at Fellowship love him and appreciate what he did for us on Calvary. Now, if I could arrange that, if I could have him come tonight, and you'd be willing to do what I just ask, would you stand? All right, thank you. You may be seated. As a young Christian, there were several portions of Scripture that I had a hard time understanding. They didn't make sense to me. And I, as I studied, I questioned God. I said, "God, help me understand what these scriptures mean." One of them was a verse that we read a moment ago, Acts chapter 13, verse 2, where it says, "And they ministered to the Lord." The prophets and the teachers that were here in the church at Antioch, it says they ministered to the Lord. Now, that word minister means serve. And as a young Christian, I asked myself, how could anybody minister to the Lord? How could anybody serve The Lord. The Lord doesn't need anything. He's not here. So how can we serve him? I mean, I can't make him dinner or take him out for dinner. I can't give him a place to sleep. I can't make him a good breakfast. I can't take him to a store and buy him a suit and a tie and a shirt and a pair of shoes. So what did this verse mean? It says they ministered to the Lord. They served the Lord. What does that mean? Another one I didn't understand was Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And Jesus was talking there. He's giving a promise to his disciples. And he said this. He said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." Unto me. He didn't say, "You shall be witnesses for me." "You shall be witnesses unto me." And I thought to myself, Jesus doesn't need to be witnessed to. He knows the gospel better than anybody else. And besides that, he's not a sinner. So he doesn't even need to be saved. And yet he said to his disciples, as he was giving them their commission, he said, "You're going to be witnesses unto me." Unto me. He didn't say to the world. He didn't say to everybody that was lost. He said, "Unto me." Another scripture I had a hard time understanding was Acts chapter 9, verse 4. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, he saw that bright light, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And I thought to myself, Saul didn't persecute Jesus. I mean, Saul wasn't there when they sent Jesus to the cross. And as far as I know, he wasn't at the foot of the cross when Jesus died. He didn't do anything to persecute Jesus. He didn't argue with Jesus like the Pharisees did. He didn't try to trip Jesus up in his own words like the religious rulers did. He didn't try to use Jesus' words against him like others did in his day. There's no record anywhere in the Bible that says Saul persecuted Jesus, and yet Jesus, in speaking to heaven to this man named Saul, said, "Why do you persecute me?" Now, we know that he did much to persecute other Christians. We know Saul was standing there sort of holding the coats when they stoned Stephen. And when he was giving his testimony to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, he said this, "I did many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I shut up the saints in prison. I put them to death. I punished them. I compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted even unto strange cities." That's why he was going to Damascus. He had letters in his pocket that gave him the authority to arrest the Christians in Damascus and bring them back to Jerusalem to kill them. And he did that to other Christians, but again, there's no record in the Bible that he ever persecuted Christ. There's no record in the Bible that he did anything to Jesus, and yet Jesus, as he spoke from heaven, said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And then as a young Christian, one day I was reading from the book of Matthew chapter 25, and that light bulb sort of came on. You know, when you get a revelation from God and you understand stuff you didn't understand before, and that light bulb comes on. I knew exactly what Jesus and God were talking about when they said in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, they ministered to the Lord. I knew exactly what Jesus was talking about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he said, "You will be witnesses unto me." I knew exactly what Jesus was talking about in Acts chapter 9, when he said to Saul before he was Paul, he said, "Why persecutest thou me?" And that verse that caused that light bulb to come on was Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, and then it's repeated in verse 45, where the Bible says this, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." unto me. In that you've done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, Jesus said, you have done it unto me. Hey, Saul, you shut the saints up in prison. But you know who you were really shutting up in prison? You were shutting up Jesus in prison, because he said, if you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Saul, you put Christians to death for their faith. You know who you were really putting to death? You were putting to death again the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said, in that you've done it unto one of these, the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Saul, you punished them. And it really wasn't them you were punishing. You were punishing the Lord Jesus Christ. You compelled them to blaspheme. It wasn't those Christians that you compelled to blaspheme. Because it was one of the least of Jesus' brethren, you compelled him to blaspheme. And when you persecuted others, it's not the others that you were persecuting. Who you were really persecuting was Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. I want you to let that truth and that thought permeate your mind and permeate your heart tonight. The way we treat other people, what Jesus said is, that's the way we treat him. Because if we do it to one of the least of these, his brethren, he says, you do it unto me. So what does that say about how we treat each other? Let me just give you some examples. If I gossip about somebody, and I'll put it in the form of a question, is it really Jesus that I'm gossiping about? If I'm unkind to somebody, is it really Jesus that I'm unkind to? If I hurt somebody, is it really Jesus that I'm hurting? If I dislike somebody, is it really Jesus that I dislike? If I look down on somebody, is it really Jesus that I'm looking down on? He said, these are not my words, these are his words. He said, if you do it to one of these, the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Hey, now listen. We would never gossip about Jesus. Nothing to gossip about. But we wouldn't even think about doing it. We would never be unkind to him. You all stood a moment ago indicating your desire to be kind to Christ if you had the opportunity. And there was nobody here would think for a moment about doing something unkind to Jesus. We would treat him with the utmost kindness. We would go out of our way to be kind to him. We would never try to hurt Jesus. We would never dislike Jesus. We would never look down on Jesus. And yet I wonder how many times I have done that as I've done it to somebody else. Because he said, again, his words, not mine, in that you've done it unto one of these, one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. It also explains how the prophets and the teachers that were at Antioch could minister unto the Lord. Jesus is not going to be here in body tonight. So I can't take Jesus out for dinner. Or can I? I can't give him a place to sleep because he won't be here in body tonight. Or can I? I can't make Jesus breakfast in the morning. Or can I? I can't buy him a new suit, a new shirt, a new tie, a pair of shoes. Or can I? Can you? When we bring food in on into our church and we take out Thanksgiving baskets and Christmas baskets, you know who we're really feeding? We're feeding Jesus. Feeding Jesus. We take up a collection and help buy a family Christmas gifts and help them have a nice Christmas. You know who we're really helping? We're helping Jesus. When we go to convalescence home and we sing and visit and help the folks there to have a good time, you know who we're really singing to? And you know who we're really helping have a good time? Jesus. When we go pick up a little girl or a little boy or a teenager or a man or a woman and we bring them to church and we tell them about Jesus, you know who we're witnessing to? We're witnessing to the one that Jesus said he wanted us to be witnesses to himself. We're witnessing to Jesus. When we go and try to cheer up a widow by doing some task that she needs to be done around her home, the one we're really encouraging is Jesus. When we teach our Sunday school classes and we open the Word of God and we teach the Bible, the one we're really teaching is Jesus. He said, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Now again, it's not a deep sermon tonight. I don't have any points. I'm not going to go 1, 2, 3. I'm almost done. I just want this simple, single truth to get into our hearts and get into our minds. I wish Jesus could be here. I'd be first in line to take him out for dinner. I wouldn't take him to McDonald's either, like some of you would, Brother Harold. I'd take him someplace nice. Burger King. Who said Burger King? Stay out of my preaching over there. I'd take him someplace nice. I mean, I go home, he could have my bed. I get up and fix him breakfast. Best breakfast I know how to cook. And then I'd take him to a store and it didn't matter how much it cost. I'd buy him the best suit, shirt, tie, and shoes. Because I would want him to know how much I love him and how much I appreciate what he did for me when he saved me from hell. I wish I could do that. You know what? I can. I can. Because he said, "Hey, pick out somebody that's the least of one of these, your brethren. Do it unto him. And as you do it unto him, you're doing it unto me." So I ask you tonight, what have you done for Jesus lately? Every single person stood at the beginning of the service and said, "I'd be willing to take him home. I'd be willing to feed him. I'd be willing to give him a place to sleep. I'd be willing to go and buy him a suit." Well, you can do that. You can do those very things. And doing it to one of the least of these, my brethren. You see, real Christianity is not just coming to church and singing and praising God. Real Christianity is caring for others. And if you look at the life of Christ, the 3 or so years that he spent in his public ministry, every single moment was spent caring for others. Even the times that he went by himself to pray, he was caring for others as he prayed for them. And again, he won't be here in body tonight, but you can do all those things for him by just finding somebody and doing it for them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the simplicity of the truth that's in this book. And I pray tonight this one simple, single truth, you drive into our hearts, drive into our minds, and we could know, Father, that we could love on you by loving others. We can show kindness to you by showing kindness to others. Father, that we can serve you by serving others. We can witness to you by witnessing to others. And Father, help us to take all the love that we have for you and share it with others. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know that Jesus is their Savior, I pray tonight, Father, you'd help them understand they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God forever. Help them to understand tonight, Father, that Jesus paid the price. He paid that penalty. He paid the debt that we owe for our sins. And tonight, if we'd simply come and receive him, he'd save us. He'd justify us. He'd make us in your sight just as if we'd never sinned. And I pray, Father, if it be a little boy or a little girl, a teenager, a man or a woman, tonight, if they're here and they don't know Christ, they would come and receive him and be saved. Father, bless the invitation. Speak to all our hearts. Convict us. Convict us where we need to be convicted. And we'll give Jesus all the glory and all the praise. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.